But she has just gotten off of a couple of days at the E-Fest or more. And again, as someone who's doing a benefit for humanity here in Sarasota, among our own being a poet as well. So it's really good to see all these doers and not just sayers. You know, it's one thing to get up and I've known poets that say wonderful things and then they stab you in your back. So it happens that way. But so the poets that came here are really people who go out and help out in society. And it's really a nice thing to have them come and support this benefit. So her name is Catherine Sherris, but like I said, she goes by Baratai. And did I get it right that time? No. Okay. Well, it's an Indian name, I know that. And so she may want to explain a little bit and get it right. But anyway, please come up and share some poetry.
Hi, it's Bharati. And Bharati means the goddess of wisdom, fastness, the goddess of truth, consciousness, the goddess of speech, and the goddess who brings bliss to man. I write lost poetry mostly. And one of the great joys about coming out and doing this is I get to hear other fantastic poets like Mateo, like Kokomel, who do this poetry. And it also makes me feel like a slacker because they've memorized all their poetry and I have to read mine. I have died a thousand times this day, a million times since I first saw your face, paralyzed, frozen, overwhelmed to the point where even tears no longer flow. I am so alive with love. I can no longer live like a normal person. I guess I should say most of mine are fairly short, too. I remember back in the 70s, Earth Shoes, Jimmy Carter, 55 miles an hour, and moving to North Africa. And then I got busy with other things. University, where I discovered boys and booze, and the whaling industry hit the news, and rivers began to burn. And I was busy with other things, like starting a career and disco dancing, and moving 4,000 miles away and opening up my own forest. Still, I was busy with other things, having babies and cows went mad while rivers were dammed by my former employers and pandas fell foul. The press. Being busy with other things, I did not notice the hole in the ozone or Greenland melting until the floods hit our homeland and wars became more wild. I put down the things I was busy with and stopped for once and looked at the earth and the life upon her and in her and heard the cries of her children. And believing there was nothing I could do, I got busy with other things, like conserving water and gas, and giving to Greenpeace and protesting in the streets and stoking the fire in my belly, so that my children's children and those of the wild will have an earth, a home. If the breaking of my heart would heal yours, I'd say, let it break all of us. If the breaking of my heart would stop your suffering, I'd rip it apart with my own hands. If the breaking of my heart could repeal all the neglect and slights and torture you have endured because my heart didn't break. I shouldn't be partial to my poetry, except to kill your babies. It's true that the poetry said that. I walked through this orchard of red-like pears, growing to bursting within the care of the sun and the rain, and there, just before my eyes, dangled the most perfect, most ripe fruit, listening on the breeze, glistening in the sunlight, and oh, my experience, eyes and mouth and heart, all the time, this fruit is ripe, the picking. Indeed, I already know that its gentle tap will release that fragrant, succulent, juicy pear into my hands. My eyes grow wide and my mouth waters. And I know too that if it's home just close enough to the base of that tree, will, like magic, bring that fruit to me. A big stick and a whack to the branch, should it prove stubborn, will release me from the care of that which has brought it thus far, and into the open hands where it is lit, to be devoured joyfully, indeed, brutally. The juices running down my chin, the grittiness of the flesh between my teeth, the nourishment it brings for all of me. Oh, I have the experience bringing that fruit to me. And I have it stands. And it stands. It stands. And it stands. It stands. It draws wood to my side. For my experience of fruit picking has sometimes given me a bellyache. And truly today I know that that fruit, or any other fruit, is meant for these experienced lips and eyes, they shall fall in its proper time to me. I gaze at the fruit. It is perfect. The flush is just so. The rounded end is just so. The stem, even though now, is weary from holding all that potential above the earth. So, I cannot bring myself to pluck that fruit, that which may have been hidden to me, that is not quite ready, and may not be for me. And for a moment I lament, that should it fall and splash open on the ground, its nourishment going to provide fuel for words. For a moment I am jealous of another who may also pass through this nature, and who may have fewer scruples than I, or may reach up and pluck that fruit and devour it, and not appreciate it at the same reverence as I do. Or worse, and that this perfect pair, so temptingly there, could drop into another's lap that fruit I have desired with a deep voice. That which I can see is so succulent, so fragrant, so right. For a moment longer I tarry. For a moment longer I tarry. The birds sit high atop the tree. His song is sure so pleasantly. Notes high and low, so fast and slow, it feels he's singing just for me. But 'tis not true, my fantasy, how sweet and gentle his song may seem. For truth be told, it's far more bold, he sings, keep out your fucking tree.